Voice of Truth early on the Whip Wake Up Show for a Monday, and I credit another Jason for having mentioned that song to me as I think we were having lunch on Saturday. I don't know what the name of Jason, but it's a very popular name. And we've got the Jason you know, Jason Cans from jasoncans.com on the line with us this morning, as per usual. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's like a very common on our Teamwork Africa board. We've got a friend from Madison who's named Jason. There's you. There's this friend of mine who's a more recent acquaintance. And I think there was another Jason we had at our 9 o'clock hour. I mean, what is it with this name? I have a cousin, Jason. I mean, and so it's kind of in the 60s, apparently, that was quite a big name, I guess.
Well, my class, so I had 52 people in my graduating class, and three of the boys were named Jason. So, I think it was the most common name in my class.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Imagine me yesterday waking up and finding on social media I was being attacked. And it was by you. And with this post, Mark Halverson, and it says anything with raisins in it would be 10 times better with chocolate chips instead. For example, a box of raisins.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't even just a veiled attack. I mean, I went right after
you did
on that. And I don't know if you noticed how supportive my readers were. I mean, I got lots of likes on it, and it was just kind of neat to see how much support I got. Because I think when you pulled that on the radio, raisins came out ahead.
Raisins did win. I think it's because you kind of biased it. It was a biased poll.
And, yeah, that's true. It was. Yeah, I mean, it was.
You set it up.
Way.
You know, it's as if having a campaign signs right up there in the election hall. I mean, it just wasn't fair.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny because I'm trying to shy away from it. I've had one brownie this year, and then I'll own up. I had a muffin on Friday, but I'm trying to do better on the eating front, especially when I had my physical and the doctor just said, well, you're 21 pounds heavier than the last time you saw us. I'm like, thanks, you know? But I'm like, I was fresh back from Liberia in 2.5 years ago, and I'd lost 30 pounds. And so I'm like, wow, really? Only 21? Because I'd gotten down to 160. Good night. But
yeah, it takes a lot of raisins to gain 21 pounds, I would think.
Well, tell you what, the chocolate chips don't help either. So
No.
All right. Do you have a devote? We could use, we're prayerful about our country, and these are difficult and challenging times. And we could really use a devotion from John 15 today.
Sure. So John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So once again, Jesus returned to commandments. When we drift toward legalism, we think, phew, just give me something to do. But when we recall our freedom, we think, wait, I thought that in Christ I'm free to do whatever I please. For many of us, talk of commands stirs up all sorts of feelings, expectations, and emotions. Perhaps you didn't realize that Jesus gave any commandments, but in reality, he gave dozens. You might be thinking, I can't even remember the Ten Commandments, much less keep them. What am I supposed to do with dozens? However, remember that Jesus boiled the commands down into something much easier to remember, though implementation remains a challenge. Love one another. A couple of times in the upper room, he told the disciples to love. Earlier, he had told them that they were to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. So what commandments should we keep? We are to love. I have been thinking of this recently in terms of a 360-degree love, up, down, in, and out. In fact, I made up an acronym to help me remember, LUDIO. Our operating system as Christians is to love. When we love, we uphold Christ's commands. Hmm.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It reminds me, I'd like to say there's many different names. We used to have a poster in our bedroom of the different names for Jesus, and it was really cool. I wonder what happened to that poster. Like so many things, it kind of disappeared after we moved to Africa. But one of the ones I wanted to add to it is just based on what you just shared, your devotion from Notes from the Upper Room, Jason, is the great simplifier, right? I mean, he takes 613 laws in one way, shape, or form and boils them down to love God, love others, vertical, yeah. Horizontal. There you go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think it's easy to say, difficult to implement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just kind of continuing to press back into that question, hey, how can I be loving in this situation?
And that's
go ahead.
Well, I think there's a great way to close. Let's go back to something you did share on Facebook that was less attacking than the raisins one, and that was it had to do with politics, and it incorporated politics and love. Well, that would be a great way for us to close, I think, this morning.
Where is it, though? I don't remember where it is.
Oh, you shared it on Facebook. Here, I just had your page up a short time ago.
Yeah, I'm looking through my page.
I thought it was you.
Never be, is this left or right wing? Liberal or conservative, socialist or capitalist?
That's the one.
The question should be, let me start from the beginning again. So this was a tweet somebody had put out. It says, the question should never be, is this action leftist or right wing, liberal or conservative, socialist or capitalist? The question should be, does this action love my neighbor, look out for their interests more than my own, and manifest the fruit of the Spirit?
There you go. So you're talking about love, and politics is where we're having so much combustion and divisiveness,
yep,
within the church and society, and love there. What prompted you to post that?
Well, again, I think the divisiveness, the answer to hatred, the answer to divisiveness, the answer to fragmentation is love. Mm-hmm. And I need to be reminded of that as often as everybody else does.
We sure do. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right. Drew Fralick on the line from Michigan. We've known each other, I don't know, a year and a half, going on a couple of years. Met in North Carolina at a Larry Crabb conference. And I just found out yesterday that you're an avid ice fisherman? Is that right?
I would say avid. Yeah. You could go ahead and say that.
So people who don't ice fish go, why would you want to be outside when it's so cold? Talk to me about ice fishing.
Well, yeah, people don't get it. My wife being one of them, she says, women are too smart to go ice fishing. That's why you don't see so many of them,
uh-huh,
ice fishing.
Yeah.
And, she says, we know where the warm and comfort of home is. And I say that's true. We need a break from your smartness sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But we've, the thing is ice fishing, it's like the epitome of inefficiency. Like during the week for men, it's all about the bottom line.
Yeah.
How do we do things the cheapest, fastest, the best way? Ice fishing is the complete opposite of that. You spend $400 on the equipment, $100 on the bait. You go out there for 7 hours, you almost freeze to death, and you catch three fish that, if you put them together and fried them up, you barely make a filet of fish sandwich. It's glorious, you know what I mean?
What is the appeal?
The appeal is, I don't know, it's just, you need some alone time, you know what I mean? I feel like you need to get away. Go ahead.
Do you ice fish by yourself?
No, just go out there with a few buddies, We go out there and chat and hang out for a while, and, it's cold, but it's kind of fun.
Okay.
It's a little bit, we've talked about deer hunting on this show,
yeah,
my unsuccessful attempts to deer hunt, and it's a source of shame for me in my family. I'm the only guy,
right,
who's never killed a deer. Ice fishing is really the great equalizer.
Okay.
It's like everybody goes out there and they're equally unsuccessful.
Uh-huh.
We're out there fishing for the same three or four tiny little fish. It's the opposite of deer hunting. Like deer hunting, if you get a big deer, you hang the head on the wall. I don't know if they do that in Wisconsin.
Sure.
You get a big buck, you hang it on the wall.
Sure.
It's like, nobody ever hangs fish from ice fishing on their wall.
Right,
hey, Carl, I really like that tiling job you did on your bathroom. Oh, those aren't tiles. Those are all the bluegills I caught,
yeah,
ice fishing last year.
Right.
It's good. It's okay. So I enjoy it. I try to get out there and fish once in a while. What else do I have to do? I'm a Lions fan. It's January, obviously.
So. Yeah, so not a lot going on as far as football is concerned. So
you guys ice fish in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I'm sure you're bonding and connecting. I'm thinking of friend of mine, Marty. He's quite the avid. I'm sure there's a number of them throughout the listening area, and if they want to weigh in, tell us the attractions of ice fishing. here on it is a Make Us Laugh Monday. We'd be interested in your jokes, but also if you've got something in the ice fishing category, that'd be welcome as well. So,
I mean, the thing is, too, is you were asking me, you know, what do you need to know about ice fishing? Here's the one rule. You never want to be the first one out, and you never want to be the last one in.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
There
Don't
you go.
Don't be that guy floating on an iceberg to Canada, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, the love of fishing, but the thing is that for people who are not as into fishing, it's the lack of success. I've heard those stories. Like, man, we sat there for 3 hours, we didn't catch anything, and it sounds like you've got to be pretty patient as an ice fisherman, right?
Now, let me tell you, before I get off, let me tell you this one quick ice fishing joke. I heard this from a buddy. See if you think this is funny. So this guy goes out, right, and he's ice fishing. He drills a hole in the ice, and he hears this voice. There's no fish down there.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, what's going on? You know. So he moves spots, and he moves to a different spot, and he drills a hole, and he hears the voice again. There's no fish down there. And he goes, is that you, God? And he goes, no, it's not God. It's the arena manager.
Exactly. Okay, that's a classic one. That's a classic one, the hockey inclusion. Thank you, Drew. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week. The Ice Fishermen, their weekend recap. Halvo and Caleb, WWIB on a Monday, the 11th of January. For me, the big thing was going and getting a physical on Saturday morning, Caleb.
Okay.
Now, 56 and a half years old. Haven't done this. This was probably the most thorough physical I think I've ever got. And, I mean, shots and drawing this and poking here and all that. And I kind of thought, like, and when, you know, there's the actual fee and then when you get, you know, extras, it adds up. But, like, you think nothing of getting work done on your car, right? I mean, the advice from all the financial experts, Larry Burkett to Dave Ramsey, Ron Blue, it's always like the cheapest car to have is the one you own.
Absolutely.
And the idea is just go ahead and pay for the repairs. It's better than the car payment. But with our bodies, I mean, we just think different. And I'm just so aware of, you know, guys are known for just not going to see the doctor. And I just felt like, you know, just get it done. Get her done. And so
felt I did that for a while with a dentist. Wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I went like 8 years when it stunned
me. I went
me.
10, oh, and yeah. I paid for it.
And so anyhow, it was good to go and Dr. Usher doing a great job at Reform Medicine, and I appreciate the chance I got to actually meet with him. So, again, pretty so far so good. A clean bill of health. So,
well, watched a pretty decent amount of football over the weekend, so that was a lot of fun. But also something that we didn't get to do just because, again, different schedules and such, did not get to make our gingerbread houses together as a family over Christmas. Again, Lily's just with us half the time, and so it was just something we all wanted to do together. So finally, and it figures after we start a diet where I can't have candy and sugar,
oh, yeah,
that's when we do the gingerbread houses. So the kids had a great time. Cooper made a gingerbread bus. Lily, with her characteristic artistic flair, made something that looked way better than many adults could. And then I helped Nora, and our house only collapsed a couple times. I thought about bringing out the parable of the house built on the rock or the house built on the sand, but, you know, instead we just had some fun together. And once she actually got the hang of, hey, you don't just eat all the candy, you actually stick some of it in the frosting on the graham cracker house, she had a great time. I did as well, too. So
nice.
That
you
was the weekend.
You were able to resist and keep the whole 30
going? You know how difficult it is not to at least lick your fingers? It's one thing to say, okay, I'm not going to reach out and take marshmallows and M&Ms and gumdrops from the plate. But when you have frosting smeared over your fingers, not to lick them?
Totally.
It's the worst. But it was fun for the kids. And you know what? Every day where I can muster just a little bit more willpower is a gift. So, well, it's that time for our best jokes of the week. And as I mentioned before, we try to make the bar so low that you all feel like, hey, I can contribute because that's what we want. An interactive with Wake Up Show. 715-396-1670. 715-396-1670. What is your best joke this morning? And it can be simple. It can be fun. But now it's our turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll leave the door wide open for all of you. Halvo?
All right, let's give it a go here.
Off.
I'm going to start you off with... tell you what, I'm not sure how many cookies it takes to be happy, but so far it's not 27.
I like it. Let me start off with a groaner here this morning. What's the difference between a steak and a shooting star?
What?
One's meaty, the other's a little meatier.
Aha, meteor, gotcha. All right. Hey, speaking of cookies, how about coffee? You know, coffee, Caleb, it comes from a plant, which technically means that I've had like four salads already today.
Very impressive. Hey, did you hear that two TV antennas got married? Yeah, really. The ceremony was just okay, but the reception was excellent. I actually really do like that one. All right, go ahead.
All right. You know, it must be rough to be a grandpa. I mean, a baby mispronounces a word and suddenly you're known as Peepo for the next 30 years.
Oh,
how
man.
True is that? What's the difference, Alvo, between a hippo and a Zippo?
What?
One is really heavy and the other is a little lighter.
Aha.
A hippo and a Zippo.
All right, good, good, good. Hey, you know, my chiropractor tells me jokes while he works on me. It really cracks me up.
I like that one, too. All right, let's see. I just have one more today. Why do chickens always make the same sound?
Why?
They can't think outside the box.
Aha.
Oh, man.
All right, go ahead. Bring
us
home.
I'm going to finish with more chiropractic humor. What kind of music do chiropractors like? Hip-hop. Okay.
I need to go to the chiropractor.
We've set the joke really low. Actually, I've never been to a chiropractor, so... But there you go.
All right. So, again, the bar has been set low, but it is set because we want you to participate. 715-396-1670, 396-1670. What's a joke that could make us? But really, the whole point is to make others laugh, to brighten their Monday morning. This is why we bring it to you every single Monday here in the Whip Wake Up Show.
So, a guy is out, and he is doing a little ice fishing, and his buddy comes up, and he says, "Hey, tell me one thing. How do you cut a hole big enough to put the boat in? Have a good day. Bye-bye."
Oh, man.
Yeah, kind of the difference between men and women. Her diary might say something like, "Tonight, I thought my husband was acting weird. We made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. I was shopping with my girlfriends all day long, so I thought he was upset with me for coming home a bit late, but he made no comment. With zero conversation flowing, I suggested we go someplace so we could talk. He agreed, but didn't say much. On the drive out, I asked him what was wrong. He said nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset. He said he wasn't upset. It had nothing to do with me, and not to worry about it. On the drive home, I told him that I loved him. He just smiled slightly and just kept on driving. I can't explain his behavior and don't know why he didn't just say, 'I love you too.' When we got home, I felt as if I'd lost him completely, as if he just wanted nothing to do with me anymore. For the next hour, he just sat silently on the couch and stared at the TV. And finally, with silence all around, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed, but I still thought he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He quickly fell asleep. I cried. I don't know what to do. My life is a mess. His diary.
Boat won't start. Can't figure out why.
Oh, man.
Uniquely and wonderfully made men and women. Let's celebrate the differences, but let's recognize them as well.
That's why Bill
too.
And Pam Farrell, right? Men are like waffles. Women are like spaghetti.
So we both have dogs. Not everyone does. Uh-huh. Other folks choose cats or geckos or bunnies or whatever, but many, many Americans have pets. They're just part of our daily lives.
They are. And walk the dogs both Saturday and Sunday. So it's good exercise. You know, it gets you out of the house. And when it's cold, it's hard to find people in the house who want to walk the dogs.
Yeah.
So, we want to just help you choosing a family pet. It can be a wonderful addition. We've got a couple of ferrets as well, Gizmo and Lucy at the Halverson house. And so here are some tips for making a winning choice. Pets eventually grow old and die, causing your children great emotional trauma. So be sure to only choose pets which will outlive them, such as the giant Pacific sea tortoise.
Smart. All right. More smart tips on choosing a family pet. Pets soiling the carpet in your house will only be a problem if you have carpet, so cover your floor with dirt.
We've got to coach the ferrets better on... They've got a cage. They're in there most of the time, but they love going at various locations around the house. Venting that frustration. Thank you. Pets are loving, trusting creatures. Do not treat them with the same cruelty and neglect that you might your children.
Real wisdom here on choosing a family pet. Pets.
Sounds like a pet monkey.
Are loving, trusting creatures, as we just mentioned, but only choose a pet that you are reasonably confident you can defeat in hand-to-hand combat in case of a food chain hierarchy dispute.
That's smart, yes. For those parents concerned about the added expense a pet brings, remember, many pets and children may be fed to one another.
Oh, dear. If you haven't realized our tongues are firmly in our cheeks yet, hopefully you have by now. Choosing a family pet, more wisdom here, two more. Pet ownership is a great way to teach children about the entire cycle of life. From the miracle of birth to the inevitability of death, goldfish can teach these important lessons in about 3 days.
There you go. Yeah. And finally, remember, pets need regular food, exercise, love, and attention. All right? So you probably should not be allowed to own one.
Wisdom for choosing a family pet.
It's, you know, very famous kids are saying, "Oh, you know, I just want, and I'm going to, oh, I'll walk them and I'll clean up and Yeah.
Real wisdom probably would say don't ever get your kids a pet you're not prepared to fully take care of yourself.
Yeah.